Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkers here on Redbox Media. Good morning. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. Or maybe it's the afternoon or evening for you. I know some of you listen in the... I just yawned in your ear. Way to get you going, right? Welcome to the show, yawn. So happy to have you here. Sorry. I don't know why I'm yawning. I've been up since 5:30, but I went to bed at a normal time. Good. Sometimes don't you wish you could just hit pause and rewind on life? Yes. But live, we cannot. Maybe in the podcast, we'll take all this out so that if you're listening to me now at the night or the morning on the podcast, welcome. Thank you. And sorry, I just yawned in your ear. Or you'll have no idea what I'm talking about because I had Alex remove it. We are going to continue our conversation today about angels. I am so excited to bring this book to you. Angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly Host from Mike Aguilina, Servant Books, Franciscan Media. This book is from 2009, and I discovered it, I don't even, like two, maybe 3 years ago. And when I started the show, it was one of those, I have a stack. I wish you could, I should take a picture of it. I have a stack of these books that I want to include on the show. When I made the decision to do one book a week, I didn't realize how much that was going to limit my bookshelf. There's so many wonderful Catholic books and Catholic authors that I long to share with you. And you know what? I absolutely love when you ask me for book recommendations. It totally makes my day. And if you'll notice, I answer right away. I am happy to help you. I hope that they've blessed you. I don't want you ever thinking that you're bothering me when you say, hey, Allison, an email, allison@breadboxmedia.com. I need a book on whatever, the Mass, the sacraments, prodigal children, you name it, I can find you a book on it. And I'm so excited to do so because books are what brought me to Christ. They're really what brought me closer to God. I've always believed cradle Catholic, but I fell away and I didn't have anything to sustain me because I stopped learning. I left CCD 13, 14 years old, barely went to church, so I wasn't learning there. I had no idea what I didn't know. And I'm so grateful that that friend of mine back in 2005, her son was in my preschool program at the time. I used to be a preschool teacher. And she brought me Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren for Christmas and then invited me to her home for a small group study, a Bible study, a book club. And from there, the rest is history. When I started to read that book, when I started to look at scripture, I couldn't stop. I didn't know God loved me so much. I didn't know he wanted to be my friend. I thought he was just waiting for me to make a mistake so he could smote me on the spot. That is not how God works. That is not how he thinks. And through amazing spiritual reading, the writings of others, through reading the scriptures, I have discovered that God is so amazing, so much bigger than I made him. I put him in this little God-sized box that I would take out only on Sunday mornings, if that. And the rest of the time, I just muddled through and struggled through life, thinking that there was no point or purpose, or that it was only those days that I had numbered here that were my point and my purpose of life. And it's so much more than that. Mike Aguilina's book, Angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly Host, is one of those I have longed to share with you. And tomorrow, I get to share Mike with you. He will be here live 10 a.m. Eastern Time on A Seeking Heart. If you are not listening from the app, don't forget, you can go visit breadboxmedia.com, download the app. Our little catchphrase is, get the app, change the world. I love that. You can listen to us anywhere, in the car, at the beach, at work, anytime, anywhere. There are some new shows coming out in June. I can't wait to share them all with you. We're hoping for a June 6th launch. I don't know for sure yet if that's happening, but that's the hope. That was the plan. I will let you know as soon as they are available, but hold on, because some amazing, amazing stuff is coming our way. So good. This morning, I was talking with a friend, and we were just sharing that sometimes you can get really discouraged in life, you know, when you're working really hard and things don't seem to be happening either quick enough or maybe in the way you were hoping they were going to happen. And I remembered Galatians 6:9. Well, at the time, I didn't remember it was Galatians 6:9. I just remembered the words, let us not weary of doing good. That's all I can remember. Let us not weary of doing good. So I decided to Google that. Love Google. And I just put those words in. And up came Galatians 9. And let me tell you what the rest of Galatians 9 says. I feel like you need to hear this today. I know I did. I know she did. And we were both really blessed by it. So here's Galatians 9 to get us started this morning. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So let's not give up. And one of the things that the Lord gives us to help us not give up is angels. And we're going to talk a lot more about them, angels of God. We're going to look at today, I'm going to share with you some stories. I promised I share with you my angel stories. We're going to look at the angels in the New Testament, the testing of the angels, the fallen angels, and how they help us in spiritual warfare. So many great things to come. I also want to remind you of another new thing on Breadbox Media. We have Friend of the Show. $10 a month, your support of A Seeking Heart and your support for my show only. You can pick other shows on Breadbox Media to support. But the $10 that you give goes exclusively to supporting A Seeking Heart. What was the name of the show? I was going to say two. Never works, right? When you're Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, you're also supporting my ministry, Reconciled to You. If you haven't yet been to reconciledtoyou.com, go and check that out. I blog there just about daily. My ministry, basically, in case you're new to a Seeking Heart or to myself, is to bring people closer to Christ, especially those who believe, but they don't really know how to take that extra step. Or perhaps they're angry with God. There's unforgiveness or something that's keeping them, that lack of trust, lack of forgiveness, just not feeling worthy or just not knowing what you don't know, like I didn't back in 2005. So I just want to encourage and support people in their own journeys of faith and finding Christ. I do it through this wonderful radio program that I'm so blessed to be able to do, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. I say wonderful because I have zero to do with it. The Holy Spirit inspired it. The Holy Spirit gave me the idea. The Holy Spirit brought me here. You know, Leo Brown is the founder of Breadbox Media. He's our general manager, and he's the one who sought me out through another mutual friend. The Holy Spirit's at work, and he's at work in your life too. And I'm so thrilled that I get to be a part of that journey. And whatever support you need, be it prayer, I'm going to adoration tonight. Do you need a prayer? Head over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Let me know you need prayer tonight, whether you need a book, whether you need questions, you need questions answered. That's how I actually said it right. You have any questions this morning? As I was preparing for the show, I was thinking of all the questions that I had. You know, angels, there's something I didn't even knew anything about. Our Catholic faith, the Catholic faith, is so rich in tradition and nuances and beautiful, goodness gracious, just such beautiful traditions and teachings that I never even knew existed. And I grew up with it. So if you're new to the faith or you grew up with it too and think, what is she talking about? I don't know about any of the stuff. Send me questions, peeps. I want to hear from you. Okay, I got to stop saying that. I stole that from Christina Trinidad, only she can get away with peeps. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say that anymore. That's going to be my quarter in the jar word. when I first started radio, my quarter in the jar word was beautiful. I said important and I said beautiful way too often. I probably still do, but I don't notice it as much. So friend of the show, what does that mean? For $10 or more a month, you become a premium member. And that includes your choice from me of either a prayer squirrel, which can be holding a dandelion or a heart, or you can have one of the rosary bracelets that Lori Lynch and I make. We made a whole bunch yesterday. We had so much fun. We also made wine charms. So if you want some Christian wine charms, we're your gals. You get 10 extra entries in every giveaway I do. You don't have to do a thing. I'll add them in there for you. And once a month, we're going to have a Google Hangout, which you alone are allowed to come to. You'll get a special link. And this time you can talk. You don't have to have a conversation back and forth. Or you can, if you feel more comfortable, we'll have a topic. We will chat maybe about the books that we have just covered in the last month. And there will also be exclusive content on my Breadbox Media show page that you'll have a password to that only you can get to. And it'll be some vlogs, maybe some special content. I know that sometimes in between the shows, I have some great conversations in between the commercials, I should say, or the segments. I have great conversations with my guests. So maybe we will make some of that available to you. I don't know. I don't know what God has intended, but I want to continue to do this journey with you, and I would really love to have your support. Friend of the show, you go to breadboxmedia.com, click on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. That's my show page. At the bottom there, you'll see bright yellow Friend of the Show. You just click on that, and then you select my name, not the show, but my name, Allison Gingras, and you can support the show. And from me, you will get lots of fun stuff. Again, or a rosary bracelet, extra entries and giveaways, Google Hangout. Going to start in June with that Hangout. Hope I'm not in there alone. I hope you're with me. Love to put your face with your name and to see who you're talking with. So much fun. When we get back, yes, Allison, we'll stop babbling and we will start talking about Angels of God by Mike Aguilina. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. I promise to stop yawning.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Instagramming during the break, talking about the friend of the show, showing you a picture of one of the prayer squirrels that you could get if you become a premium member at $10 a month or more. And then as I was closing Instagram, I saw my Snapchat little icon and I thought, I've got to figure out Snapchat. It can't be that difficult. Sometimes I feel so old. Like, I have a master's degree in technology. Why can I not figure out Snapchat? I think it's all about the age and I'm too old for it. I'm just not hip. But I'm going to figure out Snapchat because everybody's on it and it looks like fun. If you're on Snapchat, find me or whatever you do. Follow me, friend me. I'll friend you back. Also on Instagram. Instagram I've got figured out pretty well. And that's just how I was thinking about it because somebody put their Snap story on Instagram. I'm like, peeps, how do you do this? Like, oh my gosh, I said it. There's 24 more cents in the jar. Okay, let's talk about angels before I make myself crazy with that word. So we're talking about angels of God, the Bible, the church, and heavenly hosts from Mike Aguilina. And I'm going to look at chapter 4 now. I'm all over the place with this book. It was like one of those, I want to say everything at once, so I had to put it in my own logical order. Yes, I redid the book. The publisher would love me for that. I just put it in my own chapter order. So angels in the New Testament, angels are everywhere, Mike writes. In the New Testament too, just as they are in the Old Testament, there's a very important difference. In the Old Testament, the angels are, in a manner of speaking, superior. Now they are brothers. That's pretty cool that they become these we see them as becoming more of a companion, and the Lord makes them more known to us. And we have our own, and they are so important to our life, to our well-being. They're number one role in our lives. Their whole mission is to get us to heaven. So probably the most well-known angel appearance, Mike writes, is the Annunciation. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. So he will be great, and he will be son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And that's in Luke 1:26-33. Love that. Just imagine, we were talking yesterday about angels and what they look like, and we have, most of us might have this like cheruby little image of them where they're cute little cheeks. And Mike reminds us that the first thing that usually say when they show up in the Bible, well, they show up in person, we read about them in the Bible, is "Do not be afraid," because they don't look like little cheruby angels. Like just one role of cherubs, there's others who are seraphim and guardians, and they look like kick butts. Like that's why they say "Do not be afraid." And I was being just a little silly yesterday, saying, well, if they actually looked like little cute little babies, wouldn't the first thing they would say be, "Please stop pinching my cheeks"? "No, you may not smell my head, and get your finger out of my diaper." Like, because as moms, these are the things that we do. As women, this is the things that we do. I don't know if men do this. If you are listening and you're a guy, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, what do you do when you encounter a baby? And if an angel appeared to you in a baby form, how would you treat them? You talk baby talk to them? My husband would probably throw it up in the air and go, "Wee!" That's what he does with babies. Poor parents. That's probably why they don't let him hold them very often. And I kept them at a safe distance, my own at a safe distance. And then God sent us a 3-year-old instead of an infant for that last one. If you know what I'm talking about, Faith, my adopted daughter from China, was almost 4 years old when we received her into our family. What a blessing. But God knew we don't do babies here. We don't do babies. So 573-4BREAD-4 if you want to be part of today's conversation about angels. So they appear, they're actually, as we learned also yesterday in Mike Aguilina's book, Angels of God, that they are mind without matter. They are, you know, brain without brawn. they are spirit. They are pure spirit, but they can take the form of anything, it seems, for us to be able to look upon them. So they take on the form of a form that we would understand. And we also read in the scriptures, I don't think I said this yesterday, but there is in the scriptures a reminder to be on alert and to always be kind to the people that we meet, because without being aware, we have entertained angels. We have no idea if we've ever entertained an angel. One of my stories I wanted to share with you was when I used to work at a law firm, Rudin, Herzog, Ward, and Donovan, which, by the way, please keep Joe Donovan in your prayers. I just learned that he was my boss there. He was a lawyer, 60 years old, and he passed away 3 years ago. Like, hello, where have I been? But just keep Joe, he was a kind man, and he really had a heart for his family, and I'm sure they miss him. So keep Joe Donovan Sr. in your prayers. Oh, I think he was the third, actually. Anyway, keep him in your prayers. Or was he a junior? He was one of them. Joe, I'm sorry. I'm rambly today. I am so sorry for being rambly today. More coffee, Allison. Note to self, tomorrow, drink more coffee. Anyways, so the story, I used to work at a law firm. I used to be a paralegal back in the late 1900s, the 1990s, I was paralegal. And we used to have a Our law firm was in a mall. Talk about score. Allison's dream, get to go to work every day in a mall without actually being in a store. I was in a law firm. We had a community bathroom that we shared, but you had to have a key to it. So my bosses were pretty fanatical about this key and not letting mall shoppers into the bathroom. And one of the most regretful things I've ever done in my entire life was one day I went to the bathroom with the key in my hand, and there was this old man with his son or his grandson. The grandson was probably in his 20s or 30s. And this old man, very frail, very fragile. And they asked me to open the bathroom so he could use it. So humiliated to say I didn't. I was mid-20s myself, been drilled in my head not to share that key ever, not to open the bathroom, and I didn't. I regret that so much. Like, what a ridiculous thing to hold a principle on, right? Like, how stupid. And years later, when I started to read scripture and I read that passage, all I could think of is that was an angel. That was my testing from God by an angel. Like, what would she do? What is she made of? Well, apparently I'm made of not so good stuff. Not good stuff back then, because open the bathroom for an elderly gentleman. Seriously. Oh my goodness. How many times have we been met with situations where it is an angel unaware and we're being called to do the right thing? We've been called to do, to help somebody. Like, it would not have hurt me to open that bathroom. How many times have I walked by needy people, you know, either emotionally, mentally, physically needy, and judge them? You know, stopped at a red light and someone comes up and knocks on the window, you know, do you got any spare change? And I, you know, scowled at them and be like, go get a job, rolled up the window. You know what? If I have it nowadays, I give it. And I don't worry about what they do with it. I let God worry about what they're going to do with it. If the Lord put them there at my window and they need some spare change, I give them spare change. I have a friend who's really, I love this idea. She went and got just a ton of McDonald's gift certificates. You know, back where you could give out the 50-cent gift certificate. Now she, I don't know how much she puts on the card, $1 or $2, $5, and they're always at ready. So if somebody comes to you and they ask for something, you think, I'm going to give them money because they're just going to go buy drugs or booze with it, have a gift certificate for food available, because we can't judge them. That's for the Lord to do. And how many times have we missed an opportunity to serve the Lord or to be tested by him through an angel and failed? I know I've done quite a few. The other two stories I want to just share real quick before we go to commercial were both included in my car. One time when I was pregnant with Ian, I used to work at that law firm, and I was on my way to pick up Kevin from his office across town, and it was rainy and it was dark. It was getting dark. The car in front of me stopped short, and I had my little Saturn, my little pink Saturn, and I slammed on the brakes where the ground was wet, and I started to skid, and I should have smashed into that car right in front of me. And I don't even remember if I did a quick prayer or not, but suddenly my whole front of my car lit up white. Maybe you could say it was the reflection of my lights off the car in front of me, but I can tell you this, I didn't hit the car in front of me. There was probably less than a hair between that car and my car. The other time that included a car was on my way to night school. I was taking some master's degree classes, and I was driving. I was late. I was driving like a maniac, and I got cut off by a white van. Within seconds, there was a multi-car accident a little ways ahead of that van, where if I had kept on my trajectory at my speed, I would have been in the middle of it. I don't ever get angry anymore when I'm cut off on the highway, or ever, because you never know. You never know the angels, what appearance they're going to be taking. Could be a white van on the highway, or it could be an elderly man looking for help. We need to be always open to what the Lord is doing in our lives. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Angels of God, this wonderful book from Mike Aguilina. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Redbox Media. We are talking today about angels. We're looking at Angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly House from Mike Aguilina. And that's out from Servant Books, Franciscan Media, to help you find that. I was sharing some stories about angels and how I feel like they helped me, they guided me, guarded me in some... I always have to have an angel as a co-pilot when I'm behind the wheel. Not the best driver in the world. And I drive in Massachusetts. And what they say about us in our driving, so true. I'm getting better. After being saved a few times, I thought perhaps I should cooperate and not, you know, exhaust her so badly. There is a cute bumper sticker that I've seen that says, "May I not drive faster than my guardian angel can fly." That's good advice, right? So now we're going to look at the testing of angels. I'm not going to talk to all. We know that Saint Lucifer was this great angel, and he became, what we talk about is pride. You know, his pride caused him to want to not just be made in God's image, but to be God and to be worshipped like God. And he allowed this desire to corrupt his heart, his pure and beautiful heart, because angels have free will, just like you and I. And I was reading this chapter and I thought, oh my gosh, it said it was envy that led Satan to rebel. It was envy that left Satan to rebel. Well, I'm going to share with you, and I have been sharing with you, probably my biggest battle right now with myself is envy. It's the vice that for some reason has just taken a grip of my heart, and I have to battle it every day. One of the ways to battle envy is through admiration. And I feel like the Lord has answered that prayer by providing the show, A Seeking Heart, and that the whole show is on spiritual reading, and that I spend every day reading other people's wonderful work, sharing it with you, really admiring them and bringing them on the show on Fridays to share their work with you, giving them a place to let you know about what they're writing, what they're working on, their ministries. And I thought for a while that was enough, but I'm finding that it's not. And perhaps we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare in that last segment. And I feel like, honestly, that it might even be why I feel so my energy is just drawn from me, because whenever you're going to be talking about something that the enemy doesn't like, he tries to trap you up. He really does. One of the things I was reading, and I even shared it on A Seeking Heart with Allison Ginger's Facebook page, is that our indifference, our thinking he doesn't exist, the devil doesn't exist, is his greatest weapon to combat us and to defeat us. And one of the other ways is, and I'm going to, again, I'll talk about that in the last segment. Don't want to get in my head of myself. I do that all the time. So many thoughts, so little mouth. They're all trying to like fight to get out. So it's this envy, like whatever your vice is, that's the one that he comes after. And for me, it was envy. It is envy. I went to confession Tuesday, confessed that. Father Kevin told me to look at gratitude. Every time I think of the person that I envy, I am to think of their gifts and their blessings and to be grateful for those. And you can see that with this situation itself, with Satan wanting to be God and envying all that God has. We often say that Satan's characteristic sin is pride, Mike writes in his book, Angels of God. The two sins are closely related. Satan couldn't bear the thought that there was a being greater than he was. He meant to rule, not to be ruled. He was meant to be ruled, not to be ruled. Like the Israelites in the book of Jeremiah, he stared God in the face and said, quote unquote, I will not serve. In that pride and envy, Satan started a war he couldn't win. Remember that. He cannot win. He has not won. He will never win. Jesus gained victory for each and every one of us on the cross, and he has won for us heaven, the hope for heaven, and for conquering our sins. Christ has won. 2 Peter 2:4, God did not spare the angels when they sinned, cast them into hell, and committed them to the pits of deepest darkness to be kept until the judgment. And if you've ever, maybe you've heard of Dante's Inferno, I had to read it in school. I was an English major, and I didn't have a faith back then, but I did get to read this. And there's a very famous image, and that Bishop Barron talks about, and I will share that with you in the show notes. It has the devil in that lowest layer that Dante talks about, and you expect hell to be fiery and hot. But the way that Dante explains it and the way this artist has brought it to life is it's cold and dark, dismal, empty. He is frozen. The devil is frozen in place, in ice. He cannot move. And when I think about my own envy, I completely understand that. Like, that's how I feel right now, as I envy other people who are doing good things for God, and they are being recognized, and they are being getting opportunity and blessing other people. That should not freeze me in my place. No, it should be. I should be grateful and thrilled that they're getting those opportunities. And the longer and the more that I stay frozen, the less I move, the less I can do. And one of the tactics of the devil, quite honestly, that I've seen is he whispers into my ear my own doubts and my own fears. He like reminds me back the things on my own heart that I have not given to God, but yet I'm battling. He whispers, you're not as good as that person. He whispers, no one wants to listen to what you have to say. He whispers, you'll never make anything of yourself. So just quit right now. Just quit. Walk away while just quit. That's a lie. Like, so he just whispers that lies. He's the prince of lies into your ears, and then he disappears. And guess what? We become his best allies because we take those lies, we take those doubts, we take those fears, and we run with them. We run with them. I run with them. I take them and I go forth, and you know what? I don't go forth. Instead, I become even more mired in my place, even more mired in the ice of my heart, my envy. It begins to overwhelm me. And I think, you're right. I can't do this. I can't. I am not good enough. I don't have anything people want to hear that I have to say that people want to hear, that there are so many other people who are better at serving God, and I'm going to go do something else. But that's not what God has called me to do. Whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, do not be afraid. Do not walk away from it, because every single thing we do glorifies him. Perhaps you're in nursing school and you're thinking, I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. This person next to me is getting A's. I'm only getting A-minuses or B's. I'm not cut out for this. No, the Lord put it on your heart to enter that program for a purpose and a plan, and he will use you, whether it be teaching. Maybe you feel like there's all kinds of people who are better teachers than you are. Do not envy other people's ability to do something well. Be grateful for the fact that you have them as a mentor, as a model. You can turn to them and ask for their assistance, or they do like the saints. You know, let's look at what the saints offer and do, and let's follow their lead. Instead of being envious of these people who are doing great things, it's better that I look to what they're doing and figure out how can I learn from them to do these great things too. It is so easy to get wrapped up in envy, to get wrapped up in doubt and fear. But the Lord has won victory for us. He is greater than anything that we face. He is greater than all of it. And even angels can fall victim to their pride, to their envy, to their vices. And we know that when he fell, he took one third of the angelic host with him. They all, at the core of every heart is this little seed that wants to be great. But we're only to be great in God and what he has done for us. And it's in his glory that we shine. One of the other things I learned that was just mind-blowing to me when I came back to the faith in 2005 is that the devil is not opposite God. He is not opposite God. He's an angel. He's opposite Saint Michael. He is powerful, but he's not all-powerful. Let me just read what Mike wrote here. It's very important for us to recognize that Satan is not God's opposite. God is all-powerful. Satan does not. God is all-knowing. Satan knows a lot, but he can't know all the things. He doesn't know the details of God's plan of salvation. He can't do anything to stop the fulfillment of God's plan. The devil is not eternal principle of evil, as God is the eternal principle of goodness. The devil is not eternal. He is finite. He had a beginning. God created the devil and all the rebel angels, and he created them very good. It was their own will that made them fall, but they are still God's creation. We are all made good, and God has a purpose and plan for each and every one of us. We need to turn to him and ask for his help, whatever the vice is that is keeping us from being close to him, because he will overcome it. He has overcome it. We just have to allow him into our hearts to overcome it in us. Some days that's not very easy. That's why we have prayer, sacrament, and scripture. When we come back, we are going to look at spiritual warfare. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about angels. We've been talking all week about angels and using the book Angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly Hosts out from Mike Aguilina back in 2009. But it's such a good book. I'm so glad that I rediscovered it on my shelf and put it on my list. It took me a while to get to it, but it's a good thing worth waiting for. I think you will agree, or hope you have agreed. He will be here tomorrow, Mike Aguilina himself, which is kind of funny. Pete Sox and I have been fanboying and girling over Mike for the last 2 years, doing lots of shows with Pete Sox. I think everyone has included a book by Mike Aguilina. He's a very prolific writer, so it was easy to find new books every time Pete and I have met to include him. And if you're wondering what happened to Pete's May show, that's mea culpa. That's all on me. He came and we connected and we recorded. But Allison messed up and I recorded 5 segments versus 4, which now requires editing, and I'm not good at that. So yes, it's coming. It's a good one, too, so I better get on it. Maybe this weekend. I apologize for leaving Pete out of the month of May, but he is, I think we also did all Mary books, too, because, you know, that's timely for May. May is considered Mother's Month, you know, Mother's Day. Mary's our mother, blah, blah, blah. Totally messed it up. That's right. October is her month, too, and she's always with us, so there's always a good time for us to be reading about Mary. Today, we're reading about angels, angels of God, the Bible, the Church, and the Heavenly Hosts, and we're going to look now at spiritual warfare. And Mike starts, you've seen the comic strip 100 times when a cartoonist wants to show someone facing a moral dilemma. He draws a character with a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other. The image goes back to at least the 1st century AD, and that's when the Shepherd of Hermanus was written, from which we have the above quote, and the quote is, "Hear now, said he, in regard to faith, there are two angels with a man, one of righteousness and the other of antiquity." It's kind of interesting, right, to think that there's always two. We know that the devil is not omnipresent. I think that's the word. He can't be everywhere at once. He's spirit, like an angel, but like God can be everywhere, and he is everywhere at all times. But the angels are not quite as capable. They're with us. They are always looking on the face of God, which is super cool. Super cool. But they're only with us. They can't be all places. So he has these the demons, right? They're each to do his dirty work, as so to speak. All with that same goal, is to win our souls and to take them away from God. So if he can't be God, he wants to make sure that God has as few of us with him as possible. That's why when it's time to talk about him, like I can tell you, I actually just grabbed holy water. Maybe this sounds like so hocusy pocusy, and I'm not one who, you know, really attested to this until I started to experience it. But just as I, you know, that second segment, the more I was preparing to talk about the spiritual warfare and to talk about the devil, I felt myself being very tired. Like, we started the show with a yawn. Hello, I'm not, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not tired. I'm excited to be here with you. So just to show you like how he can trip us up, he can whisper in our ears those lies, and he can confuse us, but God is triumphant. So I got my holy water out. One of the things Mike talks in here is about what are the tools that we need to overcome. Like, the battle is real, he writes. I love that he included this in this book. We might be tempted, Mike Aguilina writes, to think that this is an elaborate metaphor, that angels of good and evil merely represent our own good and evil tendencies struggling for mastery of our own private brains. Satan loves it when we think that way, making people believe he doesn't exist is one of his favorite tricks. I just said that a minute ago. As soon as we stop believing in him, we're wide open to the subtle arguments he makes. So we need to put on the armor of God, St. Paul tells us. So what can that be? For Catholics, it's sacramentals is one of the big ones. Holy water. I keep it right next to my studio because I know that I'm talking about God. I'm getting someone's attention, and he's not going to like me talking about God. He's going to do whatever he can. When Paul Thigpen was here, we talked about spiritual warfare in length. He has the manual for spiritual warfare. Such a great guest. Such an amazing man. Keep his wife in your prayers. She has been ill. I am going to include in the show notes the link to our interview. And when he was on, we were under great attack. The technology wasn't working. We were battling that. It was crazy. But in the end, God is always triumphant. We have to remember that. We don't need to be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to the end of time. That's God's promise. Jesus' promise to us. This is why we need to know Scripture. That's another one of our armors. That's take on the word of God, and it's St. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. That's Ephesians. And then in Galatians, he tells us like the war plate. I don't know if it's Mike writes about it in his chapter. I didn't highlight it, but I will include that as well, the actual armor and what it looks like. You know, the word of God is one of them. We have sacramentals. So we have holy water. We have scapulars. We have rosary beads. There are sometimes when I was first coming back to the faith and I really wasn't very aware of Scripture and I was still not very fully participating in the sacraments, I would lie with my rosary beads in my hands or across my chest. I open up my Bible. Honest to goodness, I would do this. I would open up my Bible and I would lay it on my chest and I would fall asleep just like in the comfort of God's word literally covering me. because I was so fearful and anxious and I didn't know what else to do. And I would use these comforts that the Lord gives us. Sacramentals are these outward signs of the unseen reality of God. So I hold rosary beads. I have holy water. Even your wedding ring, if you've had a Catholic marriage and it's been blessed, like there's a sacramental, you know, your marriage, that sacrament, the blessing, the grace, that's what I'm looking for, that grace that comes from that, you can call upon that. Your baptism, you can call upon that grace at every moment. You are a child of God. You are under His protection. Call upon Him. Help Him, ask Him to help you in the battle, because it is real, as Mike says. It is real. And how Satan works, Mike Aguilina writes in Angels of God, this is a temptation Satan offers us over and over. If there really is a good God, he whispers in our ear. Oh my goodness, I did not know he said that when I wrote my thing earlier. Ooh, coincidence. He whispers in our ear, surely he wouldn't let bad things happen to good people. And if bad things do happen to good people, that means there is no God. That is exactly what took my son away from the faith. That's exactly what almost stole my second son from the faith. When they prayed, and what they prayed for didn't turn out the way they prayed. Unanswered prayers in our own mind, the way we think they should have been answered, are one of the devil's greatest tricks for keeping us from loving God, for thinking that God has forsaken us, abandoned us, or even worse, that he doesn't exist. God answers every prayer, every prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's not your way, because his way is greater than our way. Isaiah 55, they're higher than our ways. We do not know God's plan. We do not know what God is asking of us or how God is guiding us, but we do know that God is good, that God wants us to be in heaven with him for eternity. If you do not yet believe this with your heart, ask him to reveal it to you. I am telling you that when I ask these questions of God, God, are you real? He never leaves me hanging, ever. And I go to the sacraments, adoration, receiving him in communion as often as I can. I'd love to say I went every day, but I don't. I'm kind of lazy, something I need to get over, but I do go to him in adoration. I just added 2 more hours of adoration because I've been feeling quite defeated in my work and in my life. And I see God at work, and yet I still felt defeated. I said, I need to spend more time with you in that foretaste of heaven that comes in adoration, so I could be reminded again and again that God is real, that God loves me, and that I have been given the victory over all of this stuff that worries me because Christ loved me and died for me on the cross. Bottom line, tomorrow, I am so excited to have Mike Aguilina here. I hope you will be able to join us. If you have any questions for Mike, put down this number right now, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call in, you can text, you can leave me a message at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook or allison@breadboxmedia.com. Speaking of breadboxmedia.com, please don't forget to just take a moment and go check out Friend of the Show. For $10 a month or more, you become a premium member, and that includes your choice of a prayer squirrel or a bracelet. If you want a book instead, I'll get you a book. Whatever you'd like for my thank you to you for supporting A Seeking Heart. 10 extra giveaways at every entries in every giveaway. Invitation to a monthly Google Hangout with just you and me and some of our closest friends, and exclusive content that I'll be placing on my Breadbox Media page. So lots of fun stuff happening here at Breadbox Media. Go check that out. And don't miss Mike Aguilina tomorrow, June 3rd, 10 a.m. live right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.